We're seeing about 10,000 electricians retire each year. Only 7,000 new electricians are entering the field to replace them.
The energy transition is often driven by technology, but I understand you have a lot of thoughts too on this really being driven by people.
It requires a different skill set, both from the people who are installing the equipment, but also the people who are operating and maintaining it.
What are we missing as we see these retirements happen that we're not backfilling with, you know, new talent, new expertise?
I think it's an opportunity because the industry is changing, because the technology is changing, and you have a workforce that is learning this for the first time. They're not being trained on the legacy equipment. They're being trained on the equipment of today.
Hey, everyone, and welcome once again to Power Perspectives. I'm Kinsey Grant Baker. If I were to ask you to maybe rattle off a few of our industry's biggest challenges over the next decade or so, what might you say in response? I imagine the unprecedented spike in demand ushered in by these giant data centers would be on the list, the obstacles of building for a modern clean energy transition with infrastructure that's older than some of our parents is probably up there, and of course, permitting. The final big one, though, in my view, will we have enough skilled workers to execute on this grand vision of a bigger, better, more reliable, more affordable energy future? This, my friends, is the workforce dilemma. 71% of energy sector employers say they struggle to find the skilled talent they need. And that shortage of skilled talent is made all the more dramatic by the fact that energy demand is on track to double by 2050. And as the energy transition continues to forge ahead, the Bureau of Labor Statistics expects 60% growth in wind turbine service technician jobs and 48% growth in solar photovoltaic installer jobs alone. But that growth has severely outpaced our talent pipeline. And it's also expected that 400,000 employees in the energy sector will retire within the next decade. So put simply, we need more people than we currently have. What are we going to do about it? Today, we are starting the conversation to figure that out. Patrick Hughes, Senior VP at the National Electrical Manufacturers Association, is joining us to discuss how the industry is tackling this workforce challenge head on, from legislative action to rethinking how we attract and retain talent in the electric future. This workforce dilemma is one of the defining issues of our energy industry, but it's also one that we can figure out. So starting now, we're going to do our best to do just that. Patrick, welcome to Power Perspectives. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Kinsey. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
As am I. I have been very, very excited for this for quite some time. A lot of the conversations on our team focus on this workforce problem. You know, Energy Central exists to, as we say on our site, help the power industry work better. There's not a power industry if we don't have people who are willing to do the work. So this is something that's near and dear to us, near and dear, I'm sure, to a lot of the people who are listening in on this as well. But I think to kick us off, Patrick, I'd love to start with just a brief introduction. Can you tell me a little bit more about the work that you do in the energy industry and kind of how you interface with the power sector?
Sure. So the National Electrical Manufacturers Association, NEMA, we're actually celebrating our 100-year anniversary this year. So we've been around a long time. And we represent the manufacturers of electrical equipment, everything from generation to transmission and distribution equipment to electrical products used in buildings, industrial manufacturing, and electric transportation. So NEMA supports our members through industry standards for electrical equipment, as well as government advocacy and business intelligence to help them make informed decisions around where the industry is heading. We contribute about 1% of total GDP, and we employ more than 580,000 people in the United States. So it's a major workforce. And we spend a lot of our time thinking about developing the workforce of today and planning for the workforce of the future. But specifically, something that my team does and that I do in the organization is writing standards. And we do this to make sure that electrical products are safe, digital, efficient, and effective at delivering reliable, resilient electricity.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, this is a great way to kick us off, to get the context of the work that you do, especially you mentioned, you know, helping these utilities and energy companies make more informed decisions. That is what we're all after. Everybody here is trying to to the best that we can, predict the future. And it's not an easy task. It certainly is not one that I envy in my own role. But I think it's a good way to really root this conversation in the context of why we're having it in the first place. We're trying to figure out what the workforce of the future looks like and how we can build for that workforce today, because this is not something that we can reverse overnight. This is not an 18-wheeler can't turn on a dime, right? So this is important to figure out now. And I want to start by doing a little bit more of, you know, defining what's at stake. You heard the stats I rattled off in my intro up there. I know you guys do a lot of work with business intelligence as well, but could you give me some color? How might you characterize this workforce challenge for utilities at the highest level?
Big picture, we published a study last year and we're about to publish an update to it that shows what we all in the industry know. Electricity demand is increasing at a nearly unprecedented rate. We're seeing a 55% increase by 2050, we expect. With electricity becoming a larger percentage of our overall energy budget in the U.S., and that's being driven by data centers, of course, the onshoring of manufacturing, and electrification of buildings in the transportation sector. Data centers alone, we expect them to triple their consumption by 2035. And so that requires a lot of people to not only build the data centers and the electrical systems and power distribution in those data centers, but also the grid infrastructure that we need to deliver that power. And we are not seeing the numbers that we need and the skills that we need from the workforce of today. And so there's a lot of opportunity to train people to do these jobs. It's an appealing industry. It's a well-paid industry. And there's a lot of activity going on, the government and from manufacturers and industry, to do that, to recruit that pipeline of workers to meet this nearly unprecedented electricity demand growth.
And this is also happening at the same time that a lot of retirements are hitting this industry. When we think about the potential of a workforce gap, that we're having a lot of retirements, we have a lot of recruitment needs because the industry is growing and because the needs of the industry are growing. How big is that gap? Is that something that you think at all about?
Absolutely. We think about it. Our friends at NECA, the National Electrical Contractors Association, think about this quite a bit. And we're seeing about 10,000 electricians retire each year. Unfortunately, only 7,000 new electricians are entering the field to replace them. And so, you know, we're running a deficit, not only by numbers, but we're also losing a lot of that expertise from people who have been in the field for decades. So, you know, what is it that we can do to try to recruit new people into this industry? You know, we're seeing an estimated about 80,000 jobs opening up each year for the next 10 years in this field. And so how can we recruit from places that haven't been reached in the past? 90% of electricians are white and 95% are male. And so, you know, some of our members and the industry more broadly is thinking a lot about how do you recruit women into the field and how do you recruit people of color and make this an exciting industry for, you know, younger people to come into, because it really is. It's not the, you know, old dirty trade that I think it sometimes is characterized as. It's exciting, it's digital, it's modern.
Yeah. And that idea of the narrative around working in energy, working in electricity and at a utility, for example, is something that I really want to dig into, because I think it's interesting flipping that narrative, having, you know, constructive conversations around what it actually means to have a career in energy, and a well-paid one at that, is certainly something we'll talk about. But before we get into that, a quick question on, you know, technology. You mentioned that we have a lot of these retirements. The math isn't quite mathing. We're going to be in a deficit in terms of retirements versus new additions to, you know, to the industry. But at the same time, we're also looking at a major technological shift really across the board. The energy transition is often driven by technology, but I understand you have a lot of thoughts too on this really being driven by people. So as we're trying to essentially build a new grid to meet new demand, how do you see the technological needs of that grid of the future driving the changes in our workforce and driving the shifting needs in the kinds of people who we do recruit and retain in the electrical fields? How does the tech kind of play into the workforce dilemma we're talking about here?
Yeah, with a much more complex grid and the use of data and connectivity and, you know, a digital intelligent getting close to autonomous grid in some cases, it requires a different skill set, both from the people who are installing the equipment, but also the people who are operating and maintaining it. And you need more of a digital competency and to understand, you know, how to program some of these systems and how to interact with the software. It's not all hardware anymore. And so focusing on skills like mechatronics is a big one for our members. That combination of engineering and software competency and computer program competency. And so we're seeing educational programs, apprentice programs, focusing more on those digital skills so that people can install and operate a more digital connected grid, because we need that connectivity in our technology to manage not only increasing load from data centers and electric vehicles, but also the way the grid works with two-directional power flows. And you know, you have bi-directional power export from vehicles to the grid or vehicles to buildings and distributed energy resources. It is a much more complicated system now and a much more digital system now, and the skills need to keep up with that.
And I got to ask how AI itself factors into all of this. You know, we talk often about AI as a driving force for increasing demand for energy, which means increasing demand for workers and for talent. But I'm curious too how utilizing AI tools is something to, you know, pop on the old resume. And tell me a little bit about how the AI skill set specifically might impact this talent pipeline. How is AI sort of transforming the needs of this workforce?
So AI, in addition to driving this data center demand, is also a tool that we can use to make people more effective in their jobs. We see predictive maintenance, for example, using AI to collect data about the temperature, the vibration of a certain product, and tell you when it is about to fail or when it needs maintenance, and make workers more effective and more efficient in how they spend their time. You don't have to follow a schedule for checking on this transformer, you know, every so many weeks. You can wait until it's giving you a signal that it needs some maintenance. And also on the manufacturing side, we are using a lot of artificial intelligence to make the products that utilities need more efficiently and effectively, using smart manufacturing and industrial automation and robotics to, again, help with the workforce gap on the manufacturing side, to be able to deliver things and reduce those lead times and supply chain constraints that, you know, we realize are frustrating to some utility customers.
Yeah. And you know, the final question that I have here in terms of really defining this problem before we get into some of the solutions, you mentioned that with the retirements that we're looking at right now, we're losing a lot of expertise. This is something that Matt, our community manager on the Energy Central team, has written about on Substack. You know, what is at stake when we're losing these people who have seen some things, right? They've lived through experiences that can help inform the way that they strategize around building this grid of the future. Can you just give me a little more, you know, context on that as well? As we're trying to really establish the stakes, tell me more about what is being lost. We've talked a lot about the needs of the future. What are we missing as we see these retirements happen that we're not backfilling with, you know, new talent, new expertise, new insights from the rest of the workforce?
I actually think that, you know, it's certainly a challenge whenever you have an aging, retiring workforce, because, you know, there are certain, you know, tips and tricks of the job that you lose. But more than that, I think it's an opportunity because the industry is changing, because the technology is changing, and you have a workforce that is learning this for the first time. They're not being trained on the legacy equipment. They're being trained on the equipment of today. And so, you know, yes, this is some brain drain. And, you know, you want to make sure that you have mentor programs in place and, you know, internal training in place to try to learn from, you know, these seasoned electricians and industry professionals. But at the same time, it's an opportunity to train on the most recent information. And NEMA actually launched a NEMA Academy tool to help get the most recent information out to contractors about our members' equipment. And this is something that's really targeted at electrical contractors and people who are working day to day with this equipment, because it's changing so quickly and so rapidly that you can't rely on your training from even 10 years ago. It's brand new and it's exciting, but opportunity for continuing education.
Yeah. And I'm sure that's something that many people listening to this, whether you are an electrician yourself, whether you are a utility decision maker, or whether you are a humble podcast host, have all had to really take into account over the last couple of years as these, you know, tools have gotten more sophisticated and smarter and become a big part of the workflow really across our economy. So thank you, Patrick. This is a great way to start this conversation with just a full holistic understanding of what's going on here. Now that we sort of understand these table stakes, I want to talk more about what comes next. You know, what are solutions to this problem? And I think an interesting place to start is with legislation. You mentioned at the beginning that NEMA does some policy advocacy work. Tell me a little bit more about what that looks like. I would love to talk about that and more specifically your work with the Veterans Energy Transition Act as well. This is something that's super interesting and I would love to just hear a little bit more about.
Absolutely. We're really proud to be a supporter of the VET Act, the Veterans Energy Transition Act. It's a bipartisan bill that was introduced to take the pipeline of veterans, you know, coming out of the military with, you know, really strong technical skills and give those in the electrical equipment supply chain some funding to create training programs for these veterans to take that strong foundation of skill that they get in the military and, you know, add to that so that they can be effective electricians or working in a manufacturing facility. And what the bill does is it gives an entity, contracting firm or a manufacturer, up to $10,000 per individual and up to $500,000 per company to do that training, to create a program, to take this pipeline of veterans and get them into the electrical industry. And it's a great example, and we really appreciate the leadership of Representative Kiggins and Representative Houlihan, who are the main co-sponsors of the bill, and of course, all of the co-sponsors.
I'm curious, when you think about how this might fit into some of the broader, you know, federal efforts to modernize infrastructure, build energy capacity, does something like this, does legislation or policy like this sort of fit with that, you know, quote unquote, energy dominance agenda? And if so, how?
We can't meet our goals for energy dominance, for, you know, building the grid of the future, for building these data centers that are important to our global competitiveness without a workforce to do it. It's going to slow us down. It's going to be a bottleneck. And so legislation like the VET Act to get people into this industry is critically important. It's not a silver bullet. I think we need to do a lot of different trainings. You know, there's recommendations for training in the AI action plan, for example, coming out of the administration. You know, the VET Act is a great example, very practical way to do that. And we're, of course, supplementing as industry too. Siemens, for example, has a program that they launched with a goal of training 200,000 electricians by 2030. It's called their Siemens Educates America program. And it's this partnership between the government and industry to train the next generation of workers that's going to help us meet these ambitious goals.
Yeah, this idea of partnership is something that's really interesting to me. A lot of the people who listen to this show, who listen to Power Perspectives, are decision makers working at utilities. With examples like Siemens and these kinds of partnerships, I'm curious how else they might take some advice in terms of thinking about recruitment and retaining talent. What's the business angle to sort of complement legislation? What should their priorities be if this is a goal that they want to meet as well?
Yeah, utilities are a key piece of the equation here, and we all need to work together to build this pipeline of highly trained people. It's in all of our best interests to work together. And at NEMA, we work very closely with our partners in the utility sector, both directly with utilities as well as trade associations like the Edison Electric Institute. We also work with the contractor community, the National Electrical Contractors Association, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, the Independent Electrical Contractors. We all have aligned interests here. And we all want to see the grid of the future built, and we want it built faster. And we want to make sure that there's a workforce there. And when we work together, whether it's asking for support from the government or it's aligning the objectives of our industry trainings, we get better outcomes.
Yeah, it's a good point. And I think to the point of working toward these better outcomes, we all want the same thing. I think a big part of this conversation that we have not really gotten to yet, that we sort of broached earlier, but I want to dig into a little bit more, is the narrative. And I think that we could characterize this as sort of a narrative issue. You know, working in energy at one point in time meant steady pay, good life, great career. But I think somewhere between then and now, that narrative has shifted a little, I would argue. And I think a lot of young people today don't really see working in energy as something that's sexy and interesting. But I would argue that they're really wrong about that. I mean, this is a huge issue. It impacts literally everyone. Solving these energy issues and challenges is going to be a massive opportunity for the next generation. So how did we sort of lose the plot on the promise of a career in energy? And how do we make it more exciting and make it sexy again for young people who might not know that energy is an option for them, but should be persuaded to come join what we're doing here?
Yeah, well, in addition to, you know, above average pay, which electricians get and people working in this industry get, people are attracted or should be attracted to the electrical industry because no matter what motivates them, there's something for them in this industry. If you're motivated by technology and, you know, digitalization and exciting new gadgets, we have that. And we need people with that skill set here to build that modern digital grid. If it's environmental concerns, you know, and you have an interest in reducing carbon emissions and improving energy efficiency, we need that in the industry for people who are working on renewable energy and energy efficiency and energy storage. In the manufacturing space, we have the same perception in some places that working at a manufacturing facility is loud and, you know, noisy and dirty. And that's not true. If you've been in a manufacturing facility recently, they are pristinely clean. It's more like a clean room than, you know, that image you have in your mind of manufacturing. And it's a lot of robotics and computers. People who are working there are getting paid really well to run those systems and to build those products that make a difference for people's everyday lives. Right? Keeping the power on, making sure that the average person doesn't need to think about, you know, whether they'll have electricity to make their coffee in the morning, because it's just there and it's clean and reliable.
Yeah, I think this is an interesting way to, you know, round out a conversation that has covered a lot in terms of shortages of talent and retirements happening at the same time and shifting needs of both the industry and the workforce that populates it. So when you look to the future, Patrick, what kind of workforce do you see in the energy industry? You know, can you paint me a picture of this next great generation? Say we are successful in shifting the narrative. We get people to come join this workforce. We have all the talent that we need. The pipeline issue is no longer an issue. Tell me a little bit about what that workforce is like, what they're working on, and maybe how that future looks different from the present and the past.
You know, I actually think that the workforce of the future is going to... it's made up of regular people, right? It's one of our members, Southwire, that makes a lot of transmission cable. They have a great partnership with their local school district called 12 for Life. This program's been around for about 20 years now. And when they first started it, their local schools had about a 64% graduation rate. And what they did was they went out to those schools and said, let us do a hybrid in-class education and on the job training, where you'll earn money and you'll get some practical skills from this job. And they were able to turn that graduation rate, it's now above 90% for their local high school, by showing kids that, you know, this is an exciting industry. It's an interesting time to be part of the electrical industry. And those kids are now in an industry that is future-proof in a lot of ways. You know, there's going to be long-term demand for electricity and those in the electrical sector. It's growing. You know, it's not going away. If anything, we need more and more and more. But there's nothing unique about the kids that are entering, right? They're just regular people. They're just being shown that there are exciting opportunities in the industry, and they're getting trained with the right skills that they need to function in the industry today. So, you know, in a lot of respects, it's the same workforce that we've always had. It's just showing them a different pathway and a new industry for a lot of them.
Yeah. You know, flipping this narrative, talking about an industry that is future-proof should be really exciting for anybody who is looking for what their career might look like. I think it's incumbent upon a lot of us in the industry to have these conversations, to keep talking about how important it is to retain and recruit this workforce of the future. And to your point, Patrick, it is a really enticing place to be. You know, we have great pay, we have a great balance of options and opportunities, and there's a lot of work to be done. So I think this is a wonderful way to round out our conversation today. And I would love to now get into our lightning round, which is our quick rapid fire section to close us out here. So if you don't mind, keep your answers to just a couple words or a sentence or two, and we'll have some fun to finish it out.
Great.
Awesome. So if you were starting your career from scratch today, starting from day one, what is one skill that you would prioritize?
Well, I've talked a lot about the importance of our partners today and our partnerships. And I think coalition building is probably something that I would emphasize. I never liked group projects in school, but you know, there's that old proverb that, you know, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I think that's absolutely the case in our industry. We need to work together.
I love that. Got to get out there and shake those hands and kiss those babies. Okay, next one. What makes for a great mentor in the energy industry?
I think the role of mentors, you know, cannot be overstated. There's the aspect of, you know, teaching the next generation what you know. And as we've been talking about, with 30% of electricians, you know, nearing retirement age, we need that mentorship in this industry. Personally, I've been thankful to have mentors in my career. There's one in particular, John Jimison, who I worked with at the United Nations Foundation. We were working on transmission build out before it was cool. And he taught me a lot about policy advocacy and how to be a good team leader, you know, just based on what he has achieved in his career as a policy advocate. So I think many of us can point to the mentors in our background and, you know, what we've learned. And now it's our turn to, you know, do that for this next generation.
Yeah, I love that. Got to give back. All right, my final question for you, Patrick. Do you have any hot takes, predictions for this industry in the next decade or so? What are you looking forward to or excited to see come to fruition?
In addition to the, you know, the technology evolution that we're seeing and the connectivity, we're going to see a big shift and investment from manufacturing to build things here in the United States and in North America. Electrical manufacturers have invested billions of dollars in recent years in the U.S., and we expect another $60 billion in the next 5 years to be invested here. This is going to help with supply chains. It's going to help create a lot of new jobs that we need a highly skilled workforce for. But that's an exciting shift for our industry, and it's coming fast. And we're going to see a more domestic North American focused industry in the next 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, it is the time to build. It is super exciting to be in this space now. As somebody who is relatively new to the energy industry, I can confirm it has been great fun to get to know all of the people in this workforce and to think about what comes next. So, Patrick, thank you so much for joining me today on Power Perspectives to talk about all of this. Your insight has been really, really valuable, and I'm sure has inspired a lot of really great takeaways for our utility listeners in terms of what they can do, how we can all solve this problem together. And if I can leave anybody with anything, it is to just keep having the conversation about how cool it is to work in energy. It's an exciting field. I want everybody to feel excited to nerd out about the work that they do because it is vital, it is important, it is interesting, it is future-proof, and this is a great time to be in this space. So Patrick, thank you again for joining me today.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it.
Wonderful. And thank you, as always, to our listeners for tuning in to this episode of Power Perspectives. If you want to have a conversation about the workforce, I know there are a lot of people who probably do, go to energycentral.com and you can join in on the conversation there. And until next time, I'm Kinsey Grant Baker. Have a great rest of your day.